public hearing is conditional use number 1929, Everett Dennis and David Harbin.
This is an application to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for a farm tractor and auto repair to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 20,437 square feet, more or less, lying southeast of Route 387, also known as Hudson Road, 0.6 mile north of Route 54. It's also identified as tax map ID 533-17.00179, and it's a part of that parcel. For the benefit of the commission, I just passed down copies of the survey and site plan for this application. We did receive some agency comments. First one being from DLDOT. They provided comments in the form of a support facilities report dated March 16th of 2012. That report references that a traffic impact study was not recommended, that the current level of service A of Hudson Road will not change as a result of this application. We also heard from the County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division. They provided a memorandum dated May 8th of 2012, and that memorandum references that the site is not in an area where the county currently operates or maintains a sanitary sewer district. Site is located in the western Sussex area, town of Selbyville, area of potential expansion, that the use of an on-site septic system is proposed. The project is not capable of being annexed into a county-operated sanitary sewer district. Conformity to the western Sussex planning study will be required. The parcel is not in an area where the county expects to provide sewer service, and therefore a concept plan was not required. We also received a letter in opposition. It was received by fax yesterday. It was from Dennis and Janice Marble and expressing concern that the parcel is located in the Farmland Assessment Act, is improved with a dwelling, that the owners have carved out a small parcel to be used for the business with only 61 foot of frontage, that the road frontage is currently being used as the entire shared entrance for a dwelling, a poultry farm operation, and the post building. The typical frontage requirement is 150 feet. That due to the odd shape and small size of the parcel, it would be hard to determine the boundaries and contain the business venture within the confines of the conditional use parcel. That with this type of business, vehicles, equipment, and tractors could be delivered and stored on the parcel while waiting for repairs or parts, that the aesthetics of this situation does not conform to the neighborhood, that currently much space is being used for the entrance and even more space will be needed to allow for additional traffic, that the odd shape and small size of the parcel does not provide adequate space to conduct this type of business, that they are concerned about the potential for growth of this type of business within the confines of the proposed boundaries, and that it is their understanding that should the conditional use be approved, the use would be permanent in the event that the property would be sold or leased in the future. That is also their understanding that for the use to be approved, it will require approvals from other agencies, and therefore they request that this application be denied. And I have that letter, but I did summarize pretty much the full text of the letter.
Okay.
That's all I received.
All right, sir, we thank you. Is anyone here representing this application? Okay, come on up. Give us your names, if you would, please.
David Harbin, Somerville, Delaware.
Okay. And?
My name's Everett Dennis, and I'm here to represent myself and try to represent him. Could I have permission from the council to speak for just a minute?
Absolutely.
Director Lake, members of the council, in my 79 years of life, I've learned two words. I apologize. That's when I make a mistake. And with the workload that I've had with poultry and farming, trying to get three grandkids through college, and manager and secretary and treasurer of two tax ditches, 65 mile, and working with property owners, I neglected to pick up the phone and call Mr. Lang, but he's always worked with me. I have one disagreement before we start. I asked for a senior citizen discount on the application fee, and he told me forget it, so.
Yeah.
But, okay, thank you for allowing me to speak, and If you have any questions on this issue.
All right, sir. Well, we'll see if anyone has any questions for you, and we'll start with Mr. Ross.
Mr. Dennis, I guess I'm wondering, how many days of the week are you planning on operating the shop?
5 days a week, and Saturdays generally half days for short things like oil changes and things like that. No major work on Saturday. At least that's my intention at this point.
Monday through Friday, 7?
Eight to 5.
8 to 5?
Yes, sir.
And then Saturday, 8 to noon?
Yes, sir.
Okay, good. And do you plan on having a sign of any kind out front?
Yes, sir. I'd like to put a 4x8 lighted sign out on the roadway, yes, sir.
And your repairs are going to be all indoors, or you will be repairing?
Everything is repaired indoors. And another thing with the respect to the traffic as far as the poultry farm, I generally won't schedule work if they're removing chickens that day or something like that. I make sure that I work with Everett and we don't take work that day or something I can have in the shop, so there's no chance of any other vehicles being involved with the work vehicles that I'm working on.
Your application says for farm tractor and auto repairs, so I guess that's pretty self-explanatory, but would you want to just expand on that a little bit?
Well, a full line of automotive repairs in the shop, and there's a lot of farmers in the local area. A lot of times I'll work on their tractors if they have a problem with something's broken or something like that. I'll try to help them out and weld it or whatever they need. And basically that's where it's at. No heavy trucks. Nothing over 3/4 ton, 1 ton, something like that. But Okay. Every once in a while, I may have a truck delivery as far as that goes for oil delivery or to oil pickup, because I recycle all my oils and filters, and I'm very conscientious about the environment with antifreeze and so on.
Your waste oils and hazardous fluids would be disposed of
in
a fashion. Do you plan on having a dumpster of some kind just for?
At this point in time, no, sir, I do not. Maybe something in the future, though, of course.
Well, probably if we were to act favorably, which is, we haven't heard from anybody in opposition other than the letter, but if we were to act favorably, we'd want something to prevent inoperable vehicles from being stored outside. I don't think there's a problem with the vehicle that you're working on or that's working and you're waiting to get it in
right.
Your shed to
right.
work on, but if we don't want inoperable vehicles parked, then it becomes an accumulation.
No more than 24 hours is my goal. I don't need vehicles in there as much as, I mean, they're an eyesore to anybody else, especially something that's been there for months or whatever. I try to repair it and get it out, and don't try to book too much work to where I can't get something done.
And then,
I'm a one-man show, so I don't try to make too big of a show.
Sure. How many employees is it? Just
myself. That's it.
Okay. And then in the letter, as I tried to listen carefully to Mr. Lank read, I guess there's some concern from a neighbor of sorts about just aesthetics, probably more than anything, if I heard it correctly.
Right. I'm not sure what he means by that.
I don't either, but nevertheless, sometimes in order to alleviate that, you know, we may ask the applicant to put a row of, cedar trees or Atlantic,
right.
pines or something
right.
along the perimeter, not too close to the road to block vision. We don't want accidents.
Well, there's actually a house on the roadway that sits right on Hudson Road, so everything that's behind is behind. Also, there's another shed that's sitting there. If you look on the plan, you'll see.
I rode by there yesterday. So
the vehicles, there are 6 parking spaces, and they're actually behind that, so you really basically can't see them from the road.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, as far as an eyesore, I do everything in my power to prevent that.
And so you wouldn't have an objection to maybe planting a row of trees along
no.
the boundary there?
No.
Mr. Chairman, that's all the questions I have.
All right, sir. Thank you. Mr. Lang, let me ask you one thing before we go on. The boundary shown on here is actually a zoning boundary. That's not a lot boundary. Proposed zoning.
It's boundary. Only a boundary for the conditional
only
use.
Only a boundary for the conditional use. It's right. not a separate site. I was concerned from the letter that they had were under the impression that it was a separate lot.
I don't know. I didn't meet. I spoke to one gentleman that came in and looked at the file a couple days ago, and explained to him that this is only a conditional use boundary. It's not a parcel being created.
Right. And generally,
I don't know if it's the same person or not. That's
right. Just for the fellow commissioners that may not have seen this before, this is generally thought of to be a good thing because it restricts the area even further. Typically, when we hear a application, it's for the whole site,
whole parcel.
But this actually creates a an area within the parcels and restricts it even further. So that's the
farm buildings and all are meticulously kept. I was by there
yesterday. Yeah,
looks
very
clean.
Yeah, looks nice. Mr. Johnson.
You say you don't intend to use a dumpster this time. What do you do with your garbage and the inoperable parts and replacement parts?
The metal I take to a recycling and cardboard boxes I crush up. Generally, when I get parts from, you know, from auto parts stores or whatever, I'll crash up my boxes and take them to recycling right up the street.
So if you have hoses and pieces like that, what do you do with that?
Well, that's just basically just trash. I mean, it's household trash goes in with my regular trash. I mean, if I need to have a dumpster, I mean, I don't think they dump it any different place than they do household trash as far as, you know what I mean? It all ends up in the same landfill, basically. If I do a much more of a volume of work, I will need a dumpster or something like that. And whatever contingencies we need to do, you know, to have a dumpster out of sight, basically, is what I would like to have it, you know.
All right. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And Mr. Dennis, I heard in the letter the facts that Mr. Lank received, he mentioned something about ag program. Is your land in the farmland preservation program or anything of that nature?
Is your house in the farmland preservation? Farmland preservation?
No.
It's not?
No.
Okay.
Was it ever?
You have to excuse me, I'm totally deaf in this side, 25% in this one, so that's why I'm invested up here.
Sounds like my kids.
Comes with age.
Only when you say something they don't want to hear.
Okay, I have no further questions, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Mr. Burton.
I understand the application.
All right, sir. Mr. Lang?
I had one in the back of my head there, but I can't remember what it was. Let me see here. One second. Just to clarify that last question about ag preservation, you can ask if done, but were they previously in an ag preservation district?
Were you previously in an ag district previously? Did you used to be?
Yes, I've always been ag. I don't know, to be honest with you.
Now, well, you would have gone through Department of Agriculture.
Oh.
Foundation to establish an ag preservation district. And they had districts that were valid for 10 years, and then they have permanent easements that are go into perpetuity. But did you do the district, the first step?
Hey, honest truth, I don't know.
But you would know.
I think you'd know if you did. Yeah, I don't think you did.
I think the confusion, Mr. Lank, is between the farmland assessment, which would be for the land only.
It could be. It could be under the one. They did say farmland
the
assessment.
They said
so that
farmland assessment.
Yeah, that's right.
That's a confusion.
I was thinking it was a farmland.
Okay.
Yeah. James, we'll check. We can verify that later.
As of, let's see, I think it was last year, met with Mr. Gene Byard and updated my will, and we got our living wills, and all the lands have been resurveyed. Well, one part, this parcel, been resurveyed and marked, and the other parcel is marked, and I'm going to get my weight stops on that. And I've talked to both my daughters. When my wife and I decease, the land stays in agriculture right straight through the generations. If that's any help to the question.
Thank you. That's all I have.
All right. Counselor,
I'm getting everything in order here. I just got to get it in order up above.
Mr. Harbin, just for the record, if you could explain a little bit just sort of what's around there on the road and other kinds of uses, and, you know, just if you drive up and down Hudson Road, you know, what you'll see.
It's mostly residential and farm. Basically, I mean, everybody lives across the street from us, and we're on the other side of the street. But basically, there's mostly farming area on both sides. There is another automotive repair business at the corner of Hudson and 54. But basically, there's not many other businesses. There is another up the road from us. Before you get to Gum Road, there is a storage place that I think Mr. Bennett owns that, I think. And then he has, and basically that's it. And then, of course, Dennis Marvel has an electrical business that he runs out of his house there with his shop. That's what I can't understand why he would.
And also Dennis Marvel electrical business.
That's what I'm saying. I don't understand why he would be against it when, you know, he doesn't. It's doing the same thing.
That's fine. I just wanted to sort of get that in so we had some description while I was around.
Right.
That's alive.
Okay. Mr. Abbott stepped out long enough to check on the ag district issue, and the property is not and has not been.
I didn't think it was.
So that's.
So what the letter writer was referencing was the Farmland Assessment Act, where you get discounts through
that's
the
assessment. Probably true. Yeah. Okay. All right then, gentlemen, if you'll take a seat nearby, we'll see if there's anyone here that has an interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of conditional use number 1929, Everett Davis and David Harbin? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to conditional use number 1929? Anyone on the commission have any questions? There being none, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to remain with us for the rest of the evening to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning.